The future of iThings Considered, with Apple's profit report on the way. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Apple releases its first quarter profit this afternoon. The maker of iPhone, Pad, Pod will no doubt post gargantuan sales, but those sales may not be growing. The question becomes, is Apple starting to look more like Microsoft? Dan Bobkoff reports.
Microsoft used to be a growth story. Investors were in it for the stock gains. Then, around the year 2000, it got big and slow, and its stock stagnated, and people just stuck with it for the dividends.
There are very different circumstances that faced Microsoft in the 1990s versus Apple of today.
Pai Ling Yin is with Stanford University, and she says Apple is no Microsoft. First of all, it can't afford to sit still. It faces stiff competition from the likes of Google and Amazon. And Apple has a different culture, says Ross Rubin of Reticle Research.
It has demonstrated a unique ability to reinvent itself every few years.
Now, investors are used to the company reinventing itself with new products that cannibalize its old ones. Robert Paul Leto is founder of the Braeburn Group, a network of Apple analysts.
Apple isn't a transition, but I don't think we'll ever find a point where Apple isn't in some type of a transition.
Soon, we may find out if the company can pull off another winner. Apple CEO Tim Cook has been promising to enter new product categories soon. I'm Dan Bobkoff from Marketplace.
Let's stay on the subject of the tech industry. Yesterday, at a summit in New York, some activist investors were sounding alarms and calling for changes in what some see as a tech industry that has been growing unsustainably. Marketplace's tech reporter Quina Kim is following this. Good morning, Quina.
Good morning.
So David Einhorn, a pretty big name among activist investors, was at the summit that was making headlines with his basket of stocks that he thinks could pop. Tell me about this bubble basket.
Yeah, so the bubble basket is a group of stocks that Einhorn said he's shorting. Now, he didn't name companies. He's betting that some of them might fall as much as 90%. Einhorn says there's finally a consensus that there's a tech bubble, and so he's going to act on it.
Wait a minute. What goes up can come down? It's one conclusion here. Now, these activist investors are also raising larger issues, though.
Yeah, Jeff Ubin, a notable West Coast hedge fund investor, called into question executive compensation at tech companies. He called out Google's Eric Schmidt in particular, saying he was paid $100 million in 2011, which Ubin thought was outsized. And he noted that there was a big uproar that same year that J.P. Morgan Chase's Jamie Dimon made $20 million. So tech companies haven't responded to this criticism, but the upshot from the summit is that these companies need to be put under more scrutiny.
All right. Marketplace's Quina Kim, thank you.
Thanks.
Hollywood is no longer the go-to place for shooting feature films and TV shows. Feature filming in the Los Angeles area is half of what it was back in 1996. How can that region get more competitive? Avishai Artsy of Station KCRW went to the annual trade show of film commissioners in Los Angeles.
It's been called the Poachers Convention. Dozens of booths line a big hotel banquet hall, each promoting the natural beauty of their state or country and their generous tax incentives.
My name is Aaron Syred. I'm the North Carolina Film Commissioner.
If you've seen Iron Man 3 or The Hunger Games or the TV shows Homeland or Sleepy Hollow, those were all shot in North Carolina.
The show's called Locations Trade Show, but it's really not about locations anymore. It's about your incentives. In North Carolina is a 25% fully refunded rebate.
The state spends $80 million a year on those rebates. So how does that compare to California?
Really, we're not competing with California. We're competing with Georgia and Louisiana.
And states like Utah, which also offer filmmakers a 25% discount. The wallpaper in Utah's booth, it's just the number 25%, repeated again and again in a huge font. California, by all accounts, has not kept up.
The business is here in Hollywood. We want to keep it here. Everyone here wants to take it away.
Art Yoon is with Film LA, the group that issues permits to shoot in Los Angeles.
I mean, we have a $100 million tax credit. That's just not nearly enough. We're going to have to up that if we want to be serious about keeping the industry here.
California boosters say the state has a lot else going for it. Local talent, sunny weather, and a support system like caterers and electricians. But documentary filmmaker Deborah Rankin says it ultimately comes down to dollars and cents.
Especially as an independent filmmaker, you know, it's hard. It's hard raising the money, and you've got to make it go as far as it can.
Filmmaker Dan Galeazzo agrees.
I'm working on a Bosnia-Kosovo war film. We're probably going to go to Minnesota. If you go to the northern part of their state, you get an extra 20%.
And he says Los Angeles has way more red tape than other states.
You know, if you say the wrong words, suddenly you have to have a study because you're crossing a stream with a horse. It's like, well, gee, it's a private horse ranch. That horse crosses that stream every day. They don't care. It's bureaucracy.
In Los Angeles, the entertainment capital of the world, for now, I'm Avishai Artsy for Marketplace.
And the other day I mentioned that coffee can help you do the right thing on the job. The more caffeine, the fewer lapses in moral judgment. Now the Harvard Business Review has a piece that people get more dishonest as the afternoon wears on. Lying, cheating is more prevalent later. See, at this hour, we're all like earnest chemistry teachers, but by about 3:30 today, we'll morph into the Breaking Bad guy. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.